Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, Kim Stewart here, and we are back with a new episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. In case you are one of our subscribers, you will have noticed that we did not produce last week or 2 weeks ago, and that was, quite frankly, because we were on a little bit of a summer vacation slash fact-finding mission, kind of combined those together. Anyway, moving on to this week's episode. This week's episode is geared towards the real estate market. As you are aware, if you've listened to any of our other episodes, we have a tendency of alternating between our two key demographics at the moment, one of which is the real estate industry, and the other one is online marketers. And we have found that these two industries are the best fit with our product, Mobile Wallet Marketing, which I will, of course, talk about in a little more detail before the end of the podcast, but I'm going to leave it for right now because I want to talk about some things in real estate this week. I had a little revelation the other day, and as I say, we've been out on a sort of vacation slash fact-finding couple of weeks, and we met a few of our online clients in person that we hadn't dealt with before. That was really quite lovely. Hey, Barb, how are you? And then I just sat down yesterday for some crazy reason and was looking through LinkedIn. We have a lot of contacts on LinkedIn. And it occurred to me as I was flipping through some profiles. And then I went over and I had a look at some Facebook profiles. There was a blog post by a realtor on ActiveRain. If you're a real estate agent, you're probably familiar with that site. And it was talking about a thing called Facebook Fridays that one of the sort of rainmaker agents there who I follow and really do like reading her blog, Anita Clark, does. It's called Facebook Fridays, and she goes through and she finds some sites and posts those in a list on her Facebook Fridays group, and then people are encouraged to go over and like, comment, whatever, on the sites that she finds, with the caveat that if she lists your site, that you will go back and return the favor to any of the folks that stopped by at your site. Now, that probably sounds like kind of an off-the-wall story that doesn't have anything to do with what I've said yet, but it's a segue into what I'm going to talk about, and it's going to be part of part two of my three things, the three R's, I'm calling it, of top listing agents. And these are three common traits that we notice and reflect upon occasionally when we're dealing with agents who are at the top producer list. And the top producer list, to my way of looking at it, if I go to, say, Zillow, for instance, and I pull a list of top agents in a zip code or an area who have the most listings or the most sales or the most reviews, any one of those three things, in my mind, can qualify somebody, especially if it's somebody that I don't know, as a top producer. And quite frankly, when we do personalized outreach, we do target top producers, and that's one of the ways that we go and we look and we do the research and we check it out and we see who is active, who is seeing results, who is doing well. Generally, what we find is those people in those lists are marketing, 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 marketing. They have a plan, they're working their plan, and they're constantly working their plan. That's another point in part two of my three R's that I'm going to address. So now let's get right straight to the R's. Number one, reputation. And this, again, encompasses what I was just talking about. people who are top listing agents, top selling agents, top producing brokerages, the guys who are going up and getting all of the shiny stuff when they're giving out awards, and you know who they are in your area, you know who they are in your brokerage, you know who they are on even on the national level. These people, these individuals, these brokerages, they work very hard to establish their reputation. And I want to be very clear about what I mean by reputation. I was driving along with a friend of mine. I'm going to call her Jane. That's not her name. The other day, maybe 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about another friend of ours. I'm going to call her Sue. Again, names are protected for the innocent. And we were talking about the fact that Sue had a really nice house in a really hot neighborhood, but yet she had to do multiple price reductions, and it took months to get her house to sell. When other houses that were not that different from hers were selling faster and for more money. Now, I kind of was curious, and I said to my friend Jane, I think that's what I called her, the one that I was in the car with. Oh my God, I'm being totally confused with all these fake names. I said, golly gee, what happened with Sue's house? Why did it take so long to sell? Jane said, well, that's because she chose to list with Tom. I'm like, oh, well, what's wrong with Tom? I know Tom. He's a nice guy. She said, no, Tom is a fabulous guy. He's a very nice guy. But the fact that she didn't list with John, who kind of specializes in that particular area and that particular price range, she said, I told Sue when she didn't list with John that she was making a mistake. And Sue's answer was that she didn't personally care for John. And okay, that's great. But as Jane said, if you want to sell your house in this neighborhood, you go to John. John sells the houses. John sells the houses quickly. John sells the houses for top dollar. Now, knowing John, as we all do, John's probably not going to be the guy that you call up on Thursday or Friday and say, hey man, do you want to come over and watch the ball game with us on Sunday afternoon? Or, hey, we're going to get together for sushi on Thursday night. Do you want to go? I really don't think that John has that sort of a relationship with a lot of people. I'll be honest with you, a lot of people find him to be exceptionally abrasive, and they don't like to spend time with him. But his reputation as an agent, as a broker, is unparalleled for properties in this neighborhood. John sells houses. John lists houses and they sell. John finds buyers' houses in this neighborhood. John owns this neighborhood. You know, John's domain names reflect the neighborhood. John's listings reflect the neighborhood. If you go and drive around this neighborhood, you will see John's name on probably 40% of the for sale signs. So protecting your reputation, projecting your reputation as an agent or a broker is so critically important. You know, don't overlook that. It's really nice. People want to be liked and they want to be popular. But at the end of the day, if you want to put your kids through college or you want to pay your own mortgage and you are an agent or a broker, it is so much better, in my opinion, to be respected for the work that you do that nobody's going to say, oh, use somebody else. Everybody's going to be like, oh, you made a mistake. You should have used John. You should have used Jane Doe. You should have used Mary Smith. Whatever. I don't care what your name is. I don't, you know. Protect your reputation, build your reputation, but be on board with your reputation as an agent or a broker. So that's number one. Number two, replication. You go and you list a house and 3 days later, you got five offers, $20,000 over asking. It closes for cash in 30 days. Woohoo! That's just awesome. And then you don't do it again. And another month goes by and you don't do it again. And another month goes by and you don't do it again. And then these listings that you have that you got from people because they saw that you had this luck, this fluke, they start to dry up. They expire. They don't get renewed. You don't get a lot of new inquiries. You don't get really good reviews on the aggregator site. These things. Why did they happen to you? Are you a bad person? No. However, excuse me, one of the big things that we see with top producing agents is that they are able to replicate themselves. They devise a system that works. If that system, for instance, includes marketing themselves on Facebook, they are constantly and constantly and regularly really is more the word that I'm looking for. They have a regular Facebook presence. So perhaps they post once a day. Maybe they post once a week. Maybe they only post once every 2 weeks, which I think is a little bit slim, but let's just go with once a week. So once a week they have a post, but they always have a post once a week. It's a Monday this or a Tuesday that. Occasionally, they'll stop by and make another little comment about something that's not property-oriented. But they always have something going on a regular schedule. If they're doing Google AdWords, they're not buying some AdWords for 3 or 4 days and then buying some more AdWords 3 or 4 months later. It isn't like that, and it doesn't work like that. They're doing something that is within their budget and their time commitment, but they're doing it repeatedly, they're doing it over and over, and they're reaping the rewards of that constantness. Even if it's something like they're sending out postcards in the mail. Well, they're not sending out postcards at random. You got one this week, you got one next week, you don't get another one for a year. It isn't normally run that way, and definitely in the case of top producing agents and brokers, it is not that way. They have a system, they work the system. If your system is, I'm going to have a, and it's funny, I just got off the phone with a friend of mine who is a realtor in Florida, and he works in a beach community, kind of laid back, and we were talking about listings and listing presentations, and he said, oh yeah, I went on a listing presentation yesterday. I was like, oh, that's cool. What did you take with you? He said to me, he says, oh no, it wasn't one of those. He said, I don't do those. I was like, what do you mean you don't do those? He says, I don't do the ones that mean that you have to get up and put on a suit and go and get all these things and have all these things at your disposal. I just don't do that. He said, that's not my market. That's not my target demographic. If I showed up wearing a suit in my beach community in Florida, people would think that I was crazy and why was I dressed like that? So every listing presentation is a little bit different, but you find what works for you. You get into the habit, the good habit, of doing, here are the things that I do. Here are the things that work. Every time I'm going to get a property listing, I'm going to get the appointment, I'm going to go to the appointment, I'm going to sign the seller. You have a system of what you do and you replicate it. The things that don't work, throw them out the window. That's the other thing that top producers, top listers, top sellers all have. They have an innate willingness to test something new, to check something out. Okay, maybe Google isn't for everybody. Maybe Facebook isn't for everybody. Maybe postcards aren't for everybody. This is all true. Depending on where you live, it can be shopping, trolley, ads. Maybe those work for some people. Maybe bus stop plastering of the faces. You know what I'm talking about. Bus stop ads, whatever. Different things work in different areas and at different price points. But when you find something that does work, you stay with it. And when you determine something isn't working, you dump it. But one time, that could be a fluke. Just because something worked once or just because something didn't work once, that's not enough information. You have to find what's going to work and how it's going to work and replicate it over and over and over. It's always the same. This is what we do. We get the listing, we go and we put it in the MLS, then we go and we pull our single property website, and then we go and we put it in our listings to leads, and then we go and we make our mobile wallet property passes, and then we go and we do this, and then we go and we do the virtual tour. All these things, they're repetitive, and you do them almost religiously. I don't want to offend anybody using the word religiously, but really, when you find something that is productive, you keep doing it. Last but not least, in the three R's, referrals. So everybody understands that when you have a former customer or you have a friend who is asked or hears that somebody's looking for an agent, they say, oh, you should try so-and-so, or oh, let me give you so-and-so's card, or oh, talk to so-and-so. Okay, well, that is great. That is perhaps the single most effective method right this moment of getting business. Above every Google, above every everything, it is. It's a rare shop that doesn't get the majority of their easy business from personal referrals. But I'm going to go back and we're going to talk about what we started with, which was the Zillows, the Trulias, the Realtor.coms, where they have all of these agent reviews. And a lot of you hate Zillow with a passion, hate Trulia with a passion. Maybe you're on the fence about Realtor.com and any other site that is like that. I use those three because they're the largest and they're the easiest for me to pick on. Not really picking on them, actually. That was kind of a joke. If you get a bad review or no reviews on those sites, that is just as bad on sort of the scale of justice, if you will. On the one side, here's somebody saying, oh, talk to Jane Doe, she's fabulous. On the other side, in the Zillow profile or the Trulia profile, it's crickets. You got no reviews. None. Not a one. Oh my God, that might actually be worse than a bad review. That can completely negate a referral because people in this day and age are doing their homework. They don't really care about your personality, unless you're so abrasive that they can't deal with you. They don't really care about anything other than, can you get me top dollar for my property as fast as possible? If they're on the selling side. If they're on the buying side, all they care about is, can you get me into the property that I want as cheaply as possible? So referrals are huge, but Zillow, Trulia, etc., these are referrals, just the same as a live body telling somebody else to use you or not to use you, gosh forbid. So how does this relate to mobile wallet marketing? Okay, here it is. It's really easy. I'm going to go light on you this week. Mobile wallet marketing is one of those things that top producers, top listing agents especially, are using as part of their replication and referrals process. If it's so easy that somebody can refer you in two clicks from one iPhone to another, don't pass that up. It's crazy. Replication, putting property listings on mobile phones so that they can be easily shared, automatically accessed, and you have an instant and real-time communication ability with the people who cared enough about the property or yourself, or your brokerage, to download the pass and put it in their phone. Real time. If you get an offer on a property, you can do a blast offer on property. That generates multiple offers normally. If you have to do a price reduction, real time. Tell people, price reduction. Properties off the market, real time. Tell people, properties off the market. But hey, we've got another house three neighborhoods over that's comparably priced, that's lovely, and you should check it out. So that's my mobile wallet marketing soapbox for today's issue of the podcast. If you want a demo, if you want to contact me, send me an MLS number for a property that you have listed, and give me your email address, I will make a property listing pass and zip it over to you in no time flat, and you can see for yourself what it looks like, how it works. Share it around with the people in your office. Give it to your friends. Give it to your neighbors. You know, show the people whose property it is that you have listed. Here's this property on a mobile phone. So, anyway, that's going to be it for me today. I will talk to you guys again in 2 weeks when we have our next episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. And have a great week. Thanks.